Remember the passion you felt doing that particular thing you always loved to do when you were a kid? Whether it was to laugh or to love or to explore, to play or create. Those passions weren't just you being a kid. They were gifts of clarity. They're the desires of your heart authentically expressed. Hi, I'm Courtney Cole, and this is the Love Freak Podcast, where we remember who we really are and what we've come to this planet to create. It's here we make a choice, love or fear. It's here we choose to vibrationally realign ourselves with the truth of our essence, love, 528 hertz, the love frequency, which therefore allows us to realign with conscious healing, authenticity, and creativity. Don't freak out. This is your true nature.
Hey guys, this is Kylie Macbeth, co-founder of Zara Health, and you're listening to the Love Freak Podcast with Courtney Cole. To learn more about ways you can find healing and alignment with all of the beautiful things that you are, go to www.zarahealth.co and let's chat. Until then, enjoy this new episode of the Love Freak Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Love Freak Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney Cole, and I am so happy to have you here listening today. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have been following me on my Courtney Cole account on social media lately, you know that I am just getting back from an adventure of a lifetime in Turkey. It feels so incredible to be fully vaccinated and to be traveling again after such a wild year. I'm actually going to be doing a whole podcast on my adventures in Turkey in the next couple of weeks and all of the magic that happened there, because there was a lot. But first, I want to introduce you to someone who is rocking my world right now. Her name is Mariana Rittenhouse, and she is a tea ceremonialist. If you're not sure what that is, don't worry. You definitely will by the end of this episode. But my adventures in Turkey actually consisted of a lot of tea, as it's pretty much the staple beverage there. And if there's one thing that I can't get enough of, it is tea. I love it so much. And Mariana, she is a beautiful soul who uses the Asian medicine practice of tea ceremony to find healing, to find connectivity with the natural world, and how all of that has revealed so many beautiful truths within herself. Not only will we be learning about these beautiful ceremonies and what they're all about, but we're also going to be talking about some of the insights that have been gifted to her through her tea practice on the practice of giving and receiving, and how we can sometimes block ourselves energetically from being able to receive when we let ourselves sometimes live in victimhood. I know that I have let myself live there too many times. So I think it's really important to take a look at where we sometimes allow ourselves to vibrate energetically that may be blocking us from our abundance and from our good. So much powerful stuff coming from Mariana today. You guys, I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. So let's get it going and let's tune in.
Mariana, thank you so much for coming on the Love Freak Podcast today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk to you today because, first of all, I love everything that you're doing on Instagram. I love your message. I love your vibe. I love your heart. And secondly, I love tea so much. And you are a tea ceremonialist and a spiritual guide. And if there's two things that I get really excited about, those things are tea and spirituality. So I even made my favorite tea and my favorite mug for our chat today. It's a rose lavender tea and it's amazing. So just thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
My boyfriend and I, we make a joke all the time about going on a pub crawl or a tea crawl, because he's a beer guy. And he's always like, I guarantee I'll get more people on my Evite if I, you know, do a pub crawl. And I said, I don't know about that. I'm going to invite everyone to my tea crawl. I bet you I'll get more people. I feel like you would be on that with me.
Totally. I mean, that would be really fun, actually, to do a pub crawl and everyone shows up and being like, it's a tea house crawl.
I love it. So where are you from originally?
I'm a bit of a mutt. So I'm half Venezuelan, half American. And I was raised in Hong Kong.
What?
And yep. So, which is originally how I got introduced to tea and tea culture. My dad, he worked in international business. So that's actually how he met my mom in Venezuela. And then she moved to the US. I was born in Chicago. And
that's wild.
Five, we moved to Hong Kong.
Okay. So how many languages do you speak?
Just two.
Oh my gosh. And that's what?
In Spanish. I used to speak Mandarin, but I learned Mandarin for 10 years since I was, a kid, since I was five. But in Hong Kong, they actually speak Cantonese. They don't speak Mandarin, but they won't teach you Cantonese. So similar to when you learn a language here, I just never used it in day to day. So I can still understand and speak a little bit of Mandarin when I'm out in Taiwan and China for tea stuff. Can still write some things a little bit, but it's there's no context for Mandarin. You're not holding on to it because you speak any other language, you know.
That seems like a language that is just incredibly hard to learn too.
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting because it's, I started learning it so young. There's parts of it that feel difficult and annoying to me, and then but it's just ingrained in there. So I always said if I need to learn it again, I will pick it up. It's somewhere inside of my
It's a cool thing to have on your resume,
Speaks Mandarin, but don't test me.
Exactly. So for those who might not know, and for my brain that is still getting wrapped around the whole idea of tea ceremonies and practices, can you kind of explain what a tea practice is and what a tea ceremony looks like?
Yeah, totally. So essentially in tea ceremony, we gather in community and drink tea together in silence. So we're drinking tea as plant medicine, not as beverage. And it's kind of a moving meditation. And then I kind of distinguish tea practice from tea ceremony as more of your individual practice on a daily basis versus when we are gathering in ceremony together. Technically you could have a tea ceremony by yourself, of course, but there's just going to be a different intentionality and presence when you're in that holding space for others. So they're kind of the same thing. But essentially we're just drinking tea in silence.
Wow. I mean, that sounds great.
You're like, we'll drink, six plus bowls of tea together. And the other thing too is tea as a medicine, it's different from just a regular meditation because tea is actually working on you during it. So you are going on a subtle journey through this ceremony. The same way I always say, the same way that coffee, if I drink coffee, I'm activated. If I drink tea, my heart opens. So that is happening during the ceremony. And so,
that's
of course,
beautiful.
To affect your experience versus just sitting in a meditation or in a yoga class or something like that, there's actually another being there that's working with you and co-creating the experience.
Oh, I love that so much. I'm not a coffee person at all. I just have never liked the taste of it. I've never been able to stomach coffee. And honestly, it doesn't make me feel good. It gives me I kind of get a little pep for a few minutes, and then I crash hard, and then I'm shaky and weird all day. So I love the idea of, I drink tea every morning. This one in particular, I love it so much. And it does, it like, just I love being able to activate my heart space and to open that and remember that each day. I think that is so cool. But I was also reading a lot, and it seems, because I really don't know a lot about a tea practice, and so I was so excited to follow you and to learn about it. So I've been reading a lot about it, and it seems like it's been around for a really, really long time, back in Asia, where tea was medicine,
given to you by a tea doctor, which I'm like, a tea doctor. Okay, that's like totally my jam. But the tea, when it was served, it was supposed to bring balance to the mind, body, and spirit. So I was curious, like, how does this happen? Like, what are the benefits that you see with the tea practice?
Yeah. So, okay. So for one thing I have to correct you on, which is a little, this happens a lot. Okay. So, what you're drinking this morning is not actually tea.
What am I drinking?
So you said lavender rose, right?
Yes. So these
different plants, and we call, this is a big like misnomer in the West. We call any plant infused in water tea, but there's actually a plant called tea, Camellia sinensis. And that is what we're working with.
My mind is blown.
Yeah.
So it's one type.
There is one plant that can be processed in many different ways to create different styles of tea. So like oolong, black tea, red tea, green tea, white tea, pu'er tea. But that's all very like the same plant, Camellia sinensis or Camellia sinensis isomica. And so I don't actually work with herbal teas. And sometimes I drink herbal tea. I love herbal tea. But when we're talking about the energetics of this plant specifically, and of course the tea you're drinking is opening your heart because it's rose, right? Heart medicine. But it's
my jam.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You just like,
yeah,
just blew my mind and also like kind of broke my heart a little bit, but it's okay. I have something new to try. I know. I'm going to have to write that down for sure. I'm like, I'm ordering it when I get off here, wherever I can order it or get it. I'm doing it. Like that's happening.
So
benefits.
I mean, here's the thing. And here's the other thing is like, I have like a really specific way that I feel like people should get into tea. So I'm going to share a little bit, but I'm not going to go all in.
Okay. Yeah.
Because again, I think that a lot of these plant medicines can speak for themselves. And as humans, we so often just, we don't give space for our personal experience with the plant. And once I tell you, if I were just like, here's everything, then you would show up to tea and say that and project it all onto
tea. That's my experience too. Sure.
Yeah. That's just how we are. It's not a bad thing, but I think it is something. I feel really strongly about protecting ourselves from our minds. Our minds are really powerful.
I love that. Yeah. So yeah, please just give us the basics here and then we can experience it for ourselves.
So what I will say is tea was one of the first Chinese medicinal herbs. So yes, there were doctors or shamans or whatever you want to call them thousands of years ago who could treat with just tea. Like that was their medicine. It wasn't that you can use tea. And again, this takes a lot of time to develop. Like, I feel like I'm just starting to drink tea in this way more, but teas have different energies to them. Mm-hmm. So I can wake up in the morning and I can tune in, how am I feeling? Mm-hmm. And then drink a tea that's going to bring me into balance. Choose a tea based on what will bring me into balance or what I feel like is deficient in me, or maybe calm down something that's excessive in me. So for example, if I wake up and I'm feeling super energized and I'm like, damn, I need to ground some of this energy, I'm going to drink a grounding tea. Mm-hmm. If I'm waking up and I'm feeling sluggish, or maybe, you know, it gets more specific than that. But if I wake up and I'm feeling sluggish, I'm like, okay, maybe I'll drink a red tea to kind of brighten me up. And so there's so many different energies in tea. And again, it can get really, you know, I could say it's like, oh, my moon is about to come and it's just not releasing. And then I'll drink a tea for that. I actually did that the other day.
No way. And it helps.
It's just like the energy of it, right? If I were getting my moon, I'm not going to be drinking something that's like super activating. I'm going to be drinking something that's going to send the energy in my body downwards. But again, it takes a lot of time to develop that relationship with tea to really understand that for yourself, because teas are going to have different effects on different people. We are different. Yes, there's like a general overarching thing. I could say yeah, this tea is really activating, but if I'm really sensitive to caffeine or something, it might be like a type of tea I'm never going to drink because it's just too much, you know? So we're all different and you kind of want to learn it for yourself. But I would say, so in that, I would say tea has a lot of different properties based on the type of tea, like what, where it's from, how it's processed, how it's aged. Some of them are aged, like some of them are young. Some of them, I drink teas that are wild or grown organically with reverence as medicine. So that's going to have a different effect. Like there's just so many things that there's so many teas and there's so many things you can get out of it. But if I'm saying, okay, what is the main medicine of tea? The overarching is that it's a heart opener. It's a spirit activator. What we call that in traditional Chinese medicine, a shen tonic, which means it is a tonic for the spirit. So to me, if I'm going to translate that into my day-to-day experience, what I always say is tea brings me home to myself. Opens my heart, brings me, anchors me in myself, and reminds me that everything's okay. If I had to just say very simply, I would say those three things.
Wow. I have so many things to say. The first thing I want to touch on is, gosh, I love some of these ancient practices like this tea practice. And then, you know, there's practices like Ayurveda that are just thousands and thousands of years old that are all about acknowledging your body and going inward and really being able to like intuitively know what your body needs and working to balance that out. We've gotten so far away from that, I feel like. And we don't really know how to listen to our bodies and how to tune into that intuition. So I love these practices that are kind of bringing us back into that. I feel like that ancient wisdom is so beautiful and is they knew what was up, you know. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like a tea practice is truly all about going inward. Like we live so externally and we rely on so many outside forces to kind of dictate so much of our lives that it seems like this can be a totally, you know, just a meditative practice where we can learn to listen and to hear ourselves and to tap into that intuition.
Yeah, totally. It just creates a space for you to be with yourself, which is difficult. Right? It's not easy. It's why a lot of people don't actually meditate. It's not fun at first, you know? And the thing that I was saying about how tea's working on you is that in that process, right? If I'm here and I don't want to sit with what's coming up for me, well, the second, the third, the fourth bowl, tea is opening my heart to my experience. Wow. So it's like a bomb. It's like literally it's like this little salve that you get to put onto your human experience. Being a human is not easy and it's certainly not getting easier. And so we get to have this ally that's really like there with us as we start to excavate and just sit with our inner world.
Yeah. And that energetic experience that you're talking about, you said that each tea kind of has like a different energetic property to it. Do you feel like that is activating the heart space in a way for, you know, that frequency or whatever to kind of be able to release any blocks to be open to that? Is that kind of what you're referring to? Does that make sense? You know,
it's an interesting question. Tea is rooted in Zen. There's actually a saying, Zen and tea, one flavor. You can't separate the two. Mm-hmm. And so I say that because I want to say yes and no. Like,
okay. Yeah.
You know, there's a part of it that it's, yes, we can get to that place where, okay, I'm drinking tea because something's coming up and I need to process it and I'm going to be more specific. And then other times it's just like, show up to your tea practice. You know, we're not always in a process. Sometimes people get too precious looking for something from it because we're humans, we're constantly looking for meaning, but you know, it's, This is something my teacher says. He's like, the miracle isn't that we're drinking tea and we're going to leave and something's going to happen. The miracle is that we are here drinking tea and that's it.
Showing up.
So, really. Yeah. And drinking tea, like, yeah. And being in what is. So I want to say, like, yes and no. Sometimes there might not be, like, I wouldn't necessarily say that we're like looking for a block or something, but what I would say is it's clearing. And when I say clearing, it's, I bring that to, it brings me home to myself. So it brings me, it, like, that would be around that expression is when I'm clear, then I'm me. And then I get to go out into the world as me with an open heart. But it can be as simple as that.
Yeah, I love that.
All thought every day. That would be an amazing tea practice. Luckily, yeah. I can go deeper, you know, but if that's it, if I just showed up every day for 15 minutes and was my, and left being myself and went into the world with an open heart, like that's a miracle in and of itself.
For sure. And who are we? Like when you say that, like it connects me with myself. Like there is such a natural element to tea that is nature and we are nature. So I feel like there's such a connection that we have in this practice with nature and ultimately like that connected or that collective oneness that is all things and that is us, like our true state, right?
Totally.
Just to be able to kind of accept all things.
Totally. That's what we say, that tea connects us to ourselves, each other, and nature. Yeah. And so I say nature is like the through, like when we go so deep in, we start to remember that we are nature. And again, I want to say that takes time. These are very deep things to bring into our bodies. Like you can say that with your mind, but to know it with your body, to know it with your soul, it takes time. It takes commitment and it takes, and like literally if I, you know, if I drink tea for a week and I leave and say, I am nature, I got it. Like you're missing the point. A life committing to a plant on a day-to-day basis for your life is, that is remembering that this is just as important as a human.
Wow.
So it a lot of times it's like when we really know we are nature, it's just a state of being, right? Mm-hmm. And so then when we come to our tea table and this is just a part of our state of being, that's when it really comes into us on a cellular level. But tea is, I mean, man, it's the fastest way. It takes time, but it's the fastest way I know to really understand that.
Yeah. I think that's really cool. I love how grounding all of this is. I feel like it's a very, very powerful way, like you said, to come into yourself, to become self-aware, and to, you know, like whether you're clearing blocks or not, just showing up to the table. But I saw on Instagram a post that you posted recently, and I think it was from one of your classes that you host online, but you were talking about the practice of giving and receiving and how we block ourselves energetically from being able to receive, especially when we live in kind of a place of victimhood. And this has been a theme of my life the last several weeks, the last several years even. And I really just noticed myself kind of struggling with allowing myself to receive, and more importantly, to stay open to the things that God might be trying to lay at my feet that I might not even be realizing, but I'm just kind of unconsciously closing myself off to. And it's not just me. Like I noticed there are some listeners out there who wrote in to me who are struggling with this as well. So I thought it would be a beautiful thing to talk about in correlation with your tea practice, because you said it so beautifully and brought it all home.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this is something that's been in contemplation for me for over a year now. As I've really started to just open up and share more with the world, and what I was seeing in myself was that I was actually more comfortable. I'm like here manifesting, like our culture has, like we have this big manifestation culture, right? So it's like, yeah, manifest, totally. And we spend no time preparing ourselves to receive, right? We're just constantly saying, what do I want? What do I want? What do I want? And then, am I ready to receive it? no time. So then all of a sudden these things, they come up and I realized that I was more comfortable not receiving the things that I want. Like in my body, I was more comfortable than when things were going my way. And I would be like, I don't know, like, you know, I would start to feel as I've just been growing and my offerings have been growing and all these people want to drink tea and it's so awesome. You know, I'd be like, but where's my problems? Like, I don't know how to live in this world without problems. I've been raised in a culture full of problems. I've been raised in a culture where things are limited, not limitless. And I just realized like, just how much more comfortable I felt when I had a problem to solve. And what are you going
to
say?
No, I relate to that so much. It's really weird because there's so many things that I say that I want or that I want to go after. And I think about what happens if they actually do come true. And my stomach almost drops a little bit because I'm like, oh no, that means I have to show up differently. And like, what if I'm not prepared? Or what if I'm, you know, like my mind naturally just kind of goes to that negative. What if I don't feel like I deserve it, or it's just a different territory to walk into. I don't know. That's scary.
We're raised in cages. We're raised in these boxes that we're supposed to fit into. And after all of this work of freeing myself from these cages, I found myself outside saying, where are the rules? You know, how can I be right? How can I be perfect if there's no yardstick for me to measure myself against?
Right.
And that is uncomfortable. We're not prepared for that in the spiritual world, conscious world, whatever you want to call it, of like, you are limitless. We're not prepared to receive. So this was something that it was a big contemplation for me of, I need to get comfortable with discomfort in a new way. And the tea practice is all about being comfortable with discomfort. Nothing has made me, it's actually a reflection I get from a lot of people. Oh, you're so grounded. Oh, you're so calm. You're so this. And I was, when I first started hearing that, I was like, wait, what? You can read all of my emotions on my face. I've been told that my whole life. But the truth is, in the tea practice, especially when you get to the point where you're serving tea, it is really uncomfortable. There's not many things that we lead where people are just watching you all the time. Mm-hmm. And so when you mess up, there's a saying in tea ceremony: once the ceremony begins, everything is perfect. So if you quote unquote mess up, your work is to realize that you haven't actually messed up, that it's okay. And you have an audience, right? So there's a lot of emotional processing that goes on when you're holding a tea space. And so I got really comfortable with that discomfort over the years and saw it like transform me. And so, but then I got to this point where I realized, oh, these things, what's happening there, I'm not thinking they're successes, right?
Sure.
I'm uncomfortable with the success. So now I have to bring this practice in and transmute it in a new way of, can I be comfortable with the fact that I have a new experience in my life, which is a new sense of freedom. Not freedom from everything, but just a new sense of freedom from some things. And it's a new experience, which means it's inherently going to be uncomfortable. How do I receive this? And so what I realized when we come back to this energetic block is, when I have a problem, I can either say I'm a victim to society. I'm in my cage. Of course I have a problem. This is a cycle repeating itself. This is what I'm used to. Or I can say, this is just an energetic block in my ability to receive what I want. What I want, or what's there for me, you know, what's right in this moment.
Yeah. And like, I think sometimes those blocks kind of, they mask themselves in a way. And I think they can be kind of scary. Like, I had someone reach out to me the other day, and I thought this was a great question.
she asked me, you know, what would your advice be for the perpetually single? And she's like, you know, I've been single for so long, and I've been taking all the courses, and I've been doing all the things, and I've been trying, but it's just not happening for me. And I've been in that place. I was in that place for 10 years, you know, and is that something that you would think would be something to, that is a block that needs to be opened up to be received? And how do, cause to me that's masked in a way, you know what I mean? You can't, it's like, man, I'm putting forth the work. So why am I not, if I'm not putting forth the work, like obviously I'm trying to receive it, you know what I mean? But it's still not coming to me. So what are your thoughts on that? How do you, first of all, notice that and then be able to transform that and open your heart to be able to receive from that space?
Yeah. My just intuitive response to that is we are comfortable in the space of not getting what we want. Mm-hmm. So it's like, where is the comfort in doing the work but not meeting the person, right? So, right. And in that idea of I need to do work to achieve something, this is duality. This is, there's a right and a wrong, but I'm being perfect. What do you mean I'm not getting the person? And that's the problem. There is no right and wrong. There is no right and wrong.
That's right? A cage in itself.
Yeah, we live, and again, this is that goes back, why I was saying is so big in tea is because it's like, once the ceremony begins, everything is perfect. There is no right and wrong. Your person, when they come in, there's going to be no perfect. There's going to be no right and wrong. Like our world is not linear. It's cyclical, right?
Exactly. So totally.
There's no formula. So you can, what these, I think it's really great to do courses, of course, but we need to protect ourselves from our minds. So if I'm in that position, it's a constant, I'm constantly questioning myself. Exactly. And then I question the answers to those questions.
Right, which is an energetic state in itself, right?
Yeah, mind is a tricky, tricky thing.
Yep.
And it's strong and it's powerful. And it's like the most, the idea of right and wrong is the essential block to love in a way, because love has no conditions.
Totally. That's a beautiful point.
Yeah. Right and wrong is a condition. So it's, to me, I would just say, yes, it's good to do the work, but not if your intention is to be right. If your intention is ever to be right, do the other thing. If you feel more comfortable doing the course than not doing the course to meet your beloved, then do what makes you uncomfortable. Because discomfort is really the road to freedom. Freedom is not comfortable. We act like freedom is comfortable. It's not. No. Staying in the safe programming of our society is comfortable.
100%. There's so much freedom when you go skydiving, but to get up in the air and jump out of the plane, you have to. Do you know what I mean though?
It's like, I've never done it, but it makes sense. It's like, and that's the thing, is in those situations, we're close to death in a way where we realize, oh, nothing mattered. Anytime you have an experience where you feel like you're going to die, and I mean this, I don't mean like it doesn't have to be a near death experience. This can just be a nervous system response, anxiety. It's because the feeling of freedom to get out of that is realizing that none of it matters. I a few years ago, I had a nervous breakdown and my whole life was dismantled. I had a lot of anxiety for the first time in my life. I'd never experienced it. And I deep bows to people who deal with anxiety on a daily basis, because it was the most humbling thing. I'm like a very high performing person, and it was just the most humbling experience. And the way I got one of my healing techniques out of it was, when it would start to come up, I would ask myself, why am I afraid of dying right now? Because from an Ayurvedic perspective, death fear of death, or anxiety is fear of death. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So I just use that, and I just say, why am I, maybe I was in a room and I was afraid that, like, it, maybe it's a social death, because we are dying all the time. Our cells are dying, our identity is dying. So I'd ask myself, what, why am I afraid of death? And I would just trace it until I could tell my body, this isn't a physical death and everything's going to be okay. And even if everyone in this room decides to hate you and never talk to you again, right? Some ridiculous thing that I'm feeling, I'll survive that. And that's, wow. It was like that constant tracking to death. Why am I afraid to die? And then realizing, oh, that's okay. That would get me out of the cycle.
I love that perspective so much.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm a person that, like, struggles with anxiety on a regular basis, and I'm just trying to dismantle some of those things based off of some things that I experienced growing up. And it's true. It's like you get so wrapped up in those moments where you feel like it's the end. You know what I mean? So to be able to kind of climb out of that rabbit hole slowly and just, you know, get down to the bottom of what that is. I mean, that's just a beautiful way to look at it. Thank you for that. That was a gift to all of us struggling with anxiety, I think. Thank you.
Yeah. When my friend told me that, about that Ayurvedic perspective of anxiety, I was like, that is powerful. That is powerful.
So powerful.
And how can we, and it's okay for our nervous systems to feel like that, but then we get to, you know, give ourselves some love and put things in perspective, and.
Well, and then you're also getting down to the root of that fear, and you're just starting to understand yourself a little bit better. I mean, anytime I've ever done that and really truly been able to understand, I'm better able to nurture myself just because I understand it. So
totally.
I love that. I have to know, you have this whole, like, course now, mm-hmm. called Start Your Own Tea Practice.
Yes.
And are you just teaching people how to do this? Like, is this something that anyone can sign up for?
Yeah. So Start Your Own Tea Practice, it's a live course. So it comes up a couple times in the year, and it's a 22-day intensive to help and support people in starting their own tea practice. And as I said, I like to really connect the human with the plant. It's about removing the mind and just connecting from the heart, your heart to the spirit of tea. And so I send everyone a tea bowl and a mystery tea that they drink the whole course, and they don't know anything about the tea other than it's the plant tea. That's the one thing I guarantee everyone.
Yeah.
And we go through the ritual. It's the only space that I teach the ritual in. And then there's the teachings of tea and also just from tea. So it's a very nature-based class, to really help people remember that we're nature and help people understand the human role in the natural world as a part of it, not a master of it. So it's a real perspective shift, a real reframing. And, you know, everyone in the world drinks tea. Tea is the most drunk beverage. So it's not like we're creating tea people, but what we are doing is reorienting, because everyone who joins this course is saying, oh, you know what? I want to meet tea back. You know, tea wants to meet humans. She's been meeting humans and a really good job of it.
Yeah. Well, apparently I don't know tea yet either. So I have some get to knowing
to get you guys all into Start Your Own Tea Practice. Cause a lot of people will learn that we're starting on Sunday, and a lot of people will learn that in the first day. A lot of people sign up not even knowing that.
Wow.
And that's okay. You know? So yeah, it's such a beautiful journey. It's different every single time, because it's really, I only do this container live. It's
personal.
Yeah, it's personal. We go really deep. We spend a lot of time drinking tea in community together, and just whatever, there's always a collective energy in the group, a very specific one. Each one has a different theme. Each one has a different energy. And so it's my pride and joy. I love it.
Oh, and you can so tell you just shine when you talk about it. You're just following you on Instagram. Like, I don't even know you, you know, personally yet. And I'm just like, wow, you know, it's, I love what you share. And, you know, this podcast, Love Free Podcast, is, I kind of explained to you, it's all inspired by the healing frequency, 528 Hertz. So it's the love frequency. And it's said to be, you know, kind of resonating all throughout nature. And some believe it's the frequency that love vibrates. And it's a very connective frequency, and it promotes love, healing, and honest expression. And I just think that this practice is, like you said, it's such a way to bring you home to yourself, home in nature, home in that collective consciousness. And that's how we realign with that pure vibratory state that is what we truly are, and able to allow us to express ourselves more fully in this world. And so I think this is amazing, and something that I definitely am so excited to start. And I'm going to get off this interview and write down all the tea that I need to order. I'm going to get you to tell me everything. I'm so excited. But just to close this out, Mariana, what is something you want the world to know today?
So all of my work is based in this core thing that we've already talked about, but it is that humans are nature. Mm-hmm. And humans have forgotten that. And the answer lies in nature. And so this kind of goes back to the receiving piece, how to learn how to receive, how to learn how to love. The answer does not reside within humans. It resides in the natural world, because the natural world hasn't forgotten. So learn to love by seeing the examples of love outside of human society. Learn to receive, learn the cycles, learn. If you really want to learn how to be grounded, hang out with some trees, drink trees, which is what we do with tea. If you want to learn how to be free, watch the birds. Whatever it is, find that mirror in nature and bring that into your human self, and then bring that into the human world, because we've really lost a lot of our natural characteristics, love being the main one. And unfortunately, one of the main characteristics of being human is being finicky, right? Yeah. It's finicky, it's changing, it's being uncertain, it's living in our minds. And so if we're learning how to not be like that, it just makes logical sense to go to the beings that aren't like that, to learn from them. And as we learn from them, and as we love them, and as we remember, that is the actual remembering process, that we are them. And so come back to nature. She's waiting for you. She misses you. And it's really an important part of our role here on this earth, is to love nature back and to protect her and steward her.
Wow, such a beautiful way to end that interview. Thank you so much, Mariana. If you are interested in enrolling in Mariana's Start Your Own Tea Practice program, it won't be open for enrollment until late summer. So in the meantime, you can learn a simple practice to start connecting with tea now through her self-guided program, The Sensuality of Tea. The link is going to be in the show notes. And this is a great place to start bringing tea into your body and into your heart, and be supported as you begin to delve into the world of tea. Mariana also wants you to know that she will be offline all summer, so no social media, but you should still give her a follow at Mariana Rittenhouse. That's MariannaRittenhouse. But she still has a digital sisterhood for the summer season called Summer Fridays. It's a 3-month container of self-exploration, ritual, and growth through pleasure and joy. And this link will also be in the show notes. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of the Love Freak Podcast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe. You can also follow me on Instagram at @thelovefreak_, Don't forget, that's F-R-E-Q. Or to find out more information, you can go to www.thelovefreak.me. Look for a new episode every Tuesday.